The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
I have just signed the roadmap between the Islamic Republic of Iran and the IAEA for the clarification of past and present outstanding issues regarding Iran's nuclear program. The text has been signed on behalf of Iran by the country's Vice President, Mr. Ali Akbar Salehi.
We are reaching an agreement that is not perfect for anybody, but it is what we could accomplish, and it is an important achievement for all of us.
That's the breaking news from earlier this morning. You just heard there from the IAEA chief, along with the Iranian foreign minister, about the deal, the U.S.-led deal with Iran, that allows for Iran to keep all of its nuclear sites in place. It lifts the crippling sanctions that the West had put upon Iran for the last several years. And the UN inspectors, they might get access to Iran's nuclear sites. They might. They can put in the request, and Iran can contest it as the details begin to emerge from this deal, as it's been called. You can expect a lot of outrage in Israel and maybe a few voices in the West. What a tragic turn of events this is over the past day, yesterday, and then this morning when I woke up. I just kept thinking about what Herbert Armstrong said in the United States and Britain in Prophecy about the staggering turn in world events. We're witnessing staggering turns in the events of this world. It was one of those mornings where you just, well, what do you talk about? There's so much to address. This was supposed to be a program just about Greece and what's happening in Europe. Germany's conquest of Greece. Staggering events. And then now this. The White House website, the president just gave his address an hour or so ago. And this is from the White House's website. The historic deal that will prevent Iran from acquiring a nuclear weapon. He is confident that this will prevent Iran from going forward. He said in the address that he gave earlier today that he is open or welcomes the dialogue that's sure to come. But then in the same statement, he said he's going to veto any legislation that prevents the successful implementation of this deal. So it's a done deal, the way he sees it. And Congress can do nothing to stop it. Congress has already given up its power to nuke this deal, excuse the pun. And so the charade that goes on in the coming weeks or months, it's just going to be a ridiculous farce. Congress can't do a thing. And the only thing that Israel can do is cry aloud. This is from the Associated Press. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu called Tuesday's nuclear deal with Iran a mistake of historic proportions and vowed to keep up efforts to block the Islamic Republic from obtaining an atomic bomb. And so the President of the United States calls this a historic deal that prevents Iran from acquiring a nuclear bomb. And the Israeli Prime Minister calls this a deal that is a mistake of historic proportions. Who's right? We're going to see as this plays out, as this unfolds. We'll see in the end who is right. Is it a historic deal that prevents Iran from getting a weapon of mass destruction? Or is it one that is a historic mistake of epic proportions. The strong reaction was echoed across the political spectrum in Israel, where concern is high. The country's arch enemy has duped the world and will acquire nuclear weapons to use against Israel, the AP says. Iran already backs militant groups that attack Israel, and its leaders frequently have referred to Israel's destruction in the past. I mean, they've referred to that in recent weeks. Even while these negotiations were being finalized, this deal was being finalized. But never mind that. It says, this is from the Times of Israel, Israeli lawmakers voiced strong opposition to a landmark nuclear deal reached between Iran and world powers Tuesday morning, with Prime Minister Netanyahu warning the agreement was a historic mistake. It says criticism of the deal came from both sides of Israel's political spectrum, as the pact long feared in Israel, as paving Iran's path to a nuclear weapon, was clinched by the sides after years of talks. And so we've reached another staggering turn in world events. We really are at a Neville Chamberlain moment. Peace in our time. What does your Bible have to say about this? Well, look at a few verses here. Go to Isaiah in chapter 33 and see what God has to say about the ambassadors for peace in this world. Just to finish this report from the Times of Israel, it's quoting Benjamin Netanyahu, who said this morning, from the initial reports, we can already conclude that this agreement is an historic mistake for the world. For the world, not just the United States. For the world, it's a historic mistake, he says. Far-reaching concessions have been made in all areas that were supposed to prevent Iran from obtaining nuclear weapons capability. The West has just made one concession after another. And the best that they could get late into the night, last night, was that maybe, just maybe, inspectors might be able to get in there. We'll see. Isaiah 33 and verse 7, it says, behold, their valiant ones shall cry without. The ambassadors of peace shall weep bitterly. That's how this is going to end. The ambassadors of peace will weep bitterly. President Obama this morning said, I have no doubt that 10 or 15 years from now, the person who holds this office will be in a far stronger position. He has no doubt that the United States, that the U.S. president in 10, 15 years will be in a much stronger position than the president is today. Well, we'll see where this is leading. Now, the Bible gives us insight. Thankfully, it does. God says the ambassadors for peace will weep bitterly. This is a message Mr. Armstrong, Herbert Armstrong, talked about for decades. For decades. You just heard there at the end of the Key of David, before the top of the hour, that quote from Winston Churchill, how that the history of man is a history of warfare. That's what we're facing. It's the history of war. That's been the history of man. Don't be duped or deceived by the relative peace we've had in recent decades with the United States and Great Britain in the power positions. But those days are over. And now you see weakness. Those two nations right at the forefront of striking this deal with Iran. Well, what happens when Germany wakes up and realizes that this is a historic mistake of epic proportions? That's coming. You look at how aggressive Germany is being with the situation in Greece. Wait till it gets the military might that your Bible prophesies. And when it sees just how grave this threat is coming out of the King of the South, radical Islam, led by Iran. There's going to be a great awakening in Germany, militarily speaking. Look over at Isaiah chapter 59, just a few pages over. Mr. Armstrong, some of you may remember when he went to the newly established United Nations conference back in 1945. Of course, the world was hopeful. World War II was finally coming to an end. And he said there, having been in those meetings himself, he was there to report on it. He said, "I don't see peace being germinated here. What I see are the seeds of the next war. That's what's here. You see it in the division, in the strife, in the negotiating rooms. That's what's happened with these talks, these nuclear talks. These are not the seeds for peace, but rather for the next war." Isaiah 59 and verse 8, it says, "The way of peace they know not, and there's no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goes therein shall not know peace." That's what man has proven over the course of his history. He only knows the way of strife and contention, the way of war. In Jeremiah 6 and verse 14, it says, "They've healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace." We say peace, peace. Our ambassadors for peace say that constantly, nonstop. And yet look at the world. Look at all of the problems that just get glossed over. The Living Bible paraphrase says you can't heal a wound by saying it's not there. Yet the priests, it says, the prophets give assurances of peace when all is war. Really, really, it's even worse than what it may seem to be. These are, as I said, these are staggering events. And when Mr. Armstrong said that, of course, he wrote it in the United States and Britain in Prophecy. And when he said it in one of his old radio programs, he talked about how you, the dear listener, you need to wake up and see what's happening. These seeds of the next war, well, they're not even seeds anymore. Fully grown. And yet you still see the ambassadors out there declaring peace, glossing over the problems of this world, completely misunderstanding human nature. When we come back after the break, we'll switch gears and look at what's happening in Europe. You talk about a staggering turn. Some of these headlines, I don't even have time to get through all of them, but they're shocking. What's happening with Greece giving up its sovereignty because of Germany imposing its will? And as Nigel Farage said just today, speaking for Europe, we're all going to be like Greece if the EU gets its way. If Germany gets its way, we all end up like Greece. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show on KPCG 101.3 on the FM dial here in Edmond, Oklahoma. The live stream's available at kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
The prophet Daniel wrote about a future confrontation between a power in the north and the king of the south. We are now in the time when these two major powers are quickly rising. The king of the south is stirring up trouble even today. It is critical that you know the identity of this prophesied power. For more, request our booklet, King of the South. Visit thetrumpet.com and click the Literature tab to select your free booklet. The indescribable wreckage of the Second World War left hundreds of thousands of civilians in Germany wandering around helplessly, hungry and homeless. Every major city in Germany was buried under a heap of ruin. Adding insult to these devastating injuries, the United States and Britain jointly stated, "It is our inflexible purpose to destroy German militarism and Nazism, and to ensure that Germany will never again be able to disturb the peace of the world." Germany had just received one of the worst beatings ever in the history of modern warfare. Its military might had been destroyed, its infrastructure crushed. Against this backdrop, even as Roosevelt and Churchill offered assurances that German militarism had been permanently dismantled, Herbert W. Armstrong warned of a prophesied revival of German might to be fulfilled in the latter days. "From the very start of World War II," Mr. Armstrong wrote on May 9, 1945, "they have considered the possibility of losing this second round as they did the first, and they have carefully, methodically planned, in such eventuality, the third round, World War III." Few could have taken this warning seriously in 1945. Yet today, as Stratford noted in 2010, Germany has become one of the richest, most technologically and industrially advanced states in human history. Just as God said it would be, Germany has risen from the ashes of worldwide war to become the largest, wealthiest, and most powerful state in Europe. It is the beating heart of a revived Holy Roman Empire. For more information about the prophetic rise of Germany and the Holy Roman Empire, request our free reprint article, "The Holy Roman Empire is Back."
The Trumpet Daily.
Now, we fought a war against Germany, World War II, and Japan. Of course, we said at the beginning of World War II that we would certainly do away with German militarism and it would never rise up its ugly head again. We were going to demolish it once and for all, and after we got it demolished, now we start to rise it up ourselves because we think we have to have it as a buffer and a protection against Russia. And some of us, my friends, know not only what we see when we're over there, but we know also what is prophesied. And we know what is prophesied to rise up in Europe. And we know which is the one and the only nation in Europe that is capable of dominating, and which is the economic and the industrial heart of all Europe, without which there could be no stability and strength. A human body cannot live without its heart. And the economic and the military body that is to rise up and to restore the Roman Empire, the thing that we least suspect here in the United States, it cannot rise up without its heart. And its heart is in Germany.
That's Herbert Armstrong speaking 50, 60 years ago on his radio program, talking about the beating heart of Europe. What would he be saying today? If he was still alive, what would he be saying today about some of these headlines? EU's darkest day. One of them read yesterday. Greece is being treated like a hostile, occupied state. That's from Ambrose Evans Pritchard. Today's Telegraph. I mentioned before the break, Farage's comment, "We'll all be like Greece if the EU gets its way." Look at these headlines. All throughout his 50-year ministry, Mr. Armstrong, as you heard there, all the writers at The Plain Truth, his editorial staff, they talked over and over again, they wrote over and again about the inevitable rise of a German-dominated European federation. They talked about that. Mr. Armstrong talked about it even before World War II. and then on through the war itself in the early 1940s. And amazingly, he talked about it right after World War II, after Germany had been crushed by the Allies. He continued to make this proclamation about the future resurrection of a German-dominated European empire. He never once wavered from this prophetic explanation of world events. This is what he wrote back in 1983, looking back on his long ministry. He said the very first issue of the Plain Truth magazine appeared February 1934, just 50 years ago. So he's writing 50 years on from the first issue. It says the article starting on the cover page warned of a coming sudden appearance of a resurrected Holy Roman Empire in Europe, a union of 10 nations in Europe under one government with one united military force. For 50 years, I've been crying out to the world the Bible prophecies of the coming United States of Europe, a new united superpower, perhaps more powerful than either the Soviet Union or the United States. Well, there's still some work to be done, but look, you dig into some of these articles that have been appearing yesterday and today. We are witnessing a staggering turn in events. Going back to Mr. Armstrong's writings, this is from 1954. He writes, in February 1945, just a few months before the end of the war, President Roosevelt and Prime Minister Churchill announced the joint American-British policy on Germany. This was the solemn policy and warning for the future. Listen, he says. And he's quoting himself now from 1945. Sorry, he's quoting from this joint statement from Roosevelt and Churchill. It's our inflexible purpose to destroy German militarism and Nazism and to ensure Germany will never again be able to disturb the peace of the world. Never again will Germany be able to disturb the peace of the world. We're determined to disarm and disband all German armed forces, break up for all time the German general staff that has repeatedly contrived the resurgence of German militarism. It says, and now, this is Mr. Armstrong now, he says, a short 9 years later, behold the spectacle of Washington and London making every possible diplomatic effort backed by American dollars to do two things, create a United States of Europe and to rearm Germany. I mean, talk about a turning of the tables. It was the U.S. and Britain that was behind it. The rise of Germany, the reunification of Germany, the rearming of Germany. He said Germany inevitably will emerge as the leader of a united Europe. The U.S. pushed for this, just like it's pushing along Iran's development of a nuclear bomb. That is sure going to come back on the people of the United States and Britain. Here's what it says in The Plain Truth, 1967. If 300 million Europeans were united and could speak with one voice and would excel any, this would excel any might in the world today. There is one thing you can count on. In fact, it's so sure you can bank on it. The cry of a political union in Europe will get louder, and before long, we'll see the common market develop into a United States of Europe. I mean, these were statements made 40, 50, 60 years ago. These were statements made when Germany was lying in rubble after World War II. How could they know? Now, you look at today and think, well, Europe's still in crisis. It's going to split apart. Well, we've talked about how it's going to downsize into these 10 groups, these United States of Europe. But look at how Greece has been handled. Look at how Germany's imposed its will. You either comply with what we say or you're out. That's the tone that it's going to have as it deals with other nations. 1956, Mr. Armstrong wrote this. This time the German, he's commenting actually just to give you a little bit of context. He talked about how that in two world wars, Germany attempted to achieve global domination or dominion by first conquering their European neighbors. You know some of this history, of course. The military machine on the march. But after both of those attempts failed, well, they came up with a new plan, as Mr. Armstrong talked about back in the 1950s. Notice this one from 1956. This time, the Germans planned to sidestep the causes of past defeats instead of exhausting their own strength by holding European nations as captives at the expense of vital Gestapo manpower. They planned to head and dominate a United States of Europe and add the manpower of those nations to their own military divisions. That's just from 1956, 60 years ago. It's a new and different plan. It's much more subtle, as my father wrote, than it was back in the days of Hitler. But you see the same spirit. And more importantly, you can look into the pages of your Bible and see what God prophesies. Consider this statement. This is from 1952. The United States is determined now to let nothing stand in the way of building up a rearmed, independent Germany. This will be the heart and core of the united Europe that will revive the Roman Empire. See, it's the beating heart, as Mr. Armstrong said in that radio program. It's the beating heart of Europe. It's the dominant power. Now, let's get to some of these headlines. Let's get to some of these articles that you may have seen in the last day or two. This one, the EU's darkest day, it says Monday, July 13th. So that's yesterday. Monday, July 13th will go down in history as the day Greece lost its independence after 185 years of freedom. The day democracy died in the country that invented it. And the day the European Union took a decisive step towards self-destruction. Well, I don't know about that. There's certainly going to be a downsizing. But the European Union's not going to self-destruct. Germany will see to it. After almost 20 hours of browbeating by EU leaders in Brussels, which one senior official compared to mental waterboarding, Greece was given a blunt choice. Vote through a raft of draconian measures demanded by creditors or leave the Eurozone. It says Greece has essentially seen its independence eviscerated. Greece is no longer a sovereign state. That's what this amounts to. It's seen its independence eviscerated. A state whose motto is freedom or death and whose national anthem is hymn to liberty is now little more than a protectorate of the EU. Its parliament no longer has the power to make sovereign decisions about the issues that matter most to its citizens. And you heard all about the referendum just a week ago where the people of Greece said, no, we don't want this. No, we don't want this. Overwhelmingly, no, we don't want this. And yet its leadership caved in to Germany. It says here it's possible to argue that Greece deserves this brutal treatment. It fiddled its figures to enter the Eurozone. It failed to implement the reforms it signed up to. And its present government has shattered the trust of EU colleagues by its toddler tantrums and reckless risk-taking. But it's no longer possible to argue that Greece remains a sovereign state. Greece has made its mistakes, its leadership, for sure. And you can argue, as this article says, that it deserves this brutal treatment. But it's no longer possible to argue that Greece remains a sovereign state. You can't make that argument. They have lost their freedom. And this time it didn't even take an army rolling through the nation with tanks. Much more subtle this time around. just like Mr. Armstrong said that it would be back in the 1950s. They learned from the mistakes of the World War era, World Wars I and II. Continuing in this EU Observer article, it says, for decades, EU cheerleaders have argued that membership of the EU is about pooling sovereignty, not losing it. That's what they've talked about for decades. Yeah, we're coming together as equals. We'll pool our sovereignty together. This has now been exposed as a charade, as European Parliament President Martin Schulz admitted when explaining Greek hesitations about handing over assets to a foreign-based fund. It is, of course, a question of relinquishing sovereignty, he said. He talked about an audacious admission. Of course it's about relinquishing sovereignty. They've got to do what we say. This is not some third world nation dictatorship. This is Europe. This is the birthplace of democracy. It says, nor is it possible to argue that Greece remains a democracy as most Europeans understand the term. Democracy, from the Greek word demos, means rule of the people. In January, Greek voters gave a clear mandate to the leftist Syriza party to oppose EU-imposed austerity measures and reconfirm this in a referendum on a proposed bailout package just last week. It says, finally, ignore these votes as EU leaders blatantly did Monday, and you ignore the will of the Greek people and sacrifice national democracy at the altar of European integration. Frog march elected politicians to vote through measures they oppose, as Greek MPs will later this week, and you make a mockery out of a proud parliament. And then finally, notice this, the EU will split in two if anything like a United States of Europe is created. The EU will split in two if anything like a United States of Europe is created. That's what is going to be created. And there will be a split in two. It says, on the one side will be the Eurozone members like Germany, France, and Italy with common taxation policies, budgets, ministers, and possibly armies, and possibly armies, and possibly armies. On the other hand will be countries like Britain, Sweden, and Denmark, which will still follow most EU laws but retain their independence. Well, something like this is actually prophesied to happen. It's got a downsize to the 10. The 10 toes in Daniel 2, we read about that last week. It's an unstable mixture of iron and miry clay. That's what the Bible prophesies. And so there will be some kind of split. Somehow or another, it's going to get down to those 10 kings that the Bible talks about, that Mr. Armstrong practically screamed about over the course of his ministry. As I say, what would he be saying today? One can only imagine. It says there's little evidence from the last two decades that the massive transfer of powers from nation states to the EU has made the Union better able to project power on the world stage or provide greater prosperity for its citizens. In fact, the euro, which was supposed to bind Europeans together, has ended up tearing them apart. But you see, it's all by design, as we've been saying. It was set up at the beginning to cause a crisis just like we've seen in Greece, so that the heart of Europe can swoop in and rescue the little helpless nation, so long as it gives up its sovereignty, of course. That's what we're witnessing. Staggering events. All of these developments. You know about the Greek foreign minister, I believe he was, Yanis Varoufakis. He was interviewed by the New Statesman yesterday or the day before. The subhead here says in his first interview since resigning, Greece's former finance minister says the Eurogroup is completely and utterly controlled by Germany. Can you see why he lost his job? Greece is completely and utterly controlled by Germany. He says Greece was set up. He was set up, and last week's referendum was wasted. It was just a week ago. The Greek people spoke, and Germany ignored it. Of course, as that one leader said, of course they've got to give up their sovereignty. Well, of course. This New Statesman piece, it says Greece has finally reached an agreement with its creditors. The specifics have not yet been published, but it's clear that the deal signed is more punitive and demanding than the one that its government has spent the past 5 months desperately trying to resist. The accord follows 48 hours in which Germany demanded control of Greece's finances or its withdrawal from the euro. Many observers across Europe were stunned by the move. Many observers across Europe are stunned by these developments. Are you stunned? Will it wake you up? I hope that it will. We are witnessing prophecy being fulfilled. Everything Mr. Armstrong said about it, it's coming to pass. It goes on to quote from Varoufakis, who said we were set up. And then the article says, and he was adamant about who's responsible. I asked whether German attitudes control the outlook of the Eurogroup. Varoufakis went further. Oh, completely and utterly, he said. Not attitudes, the finance minister of Germany. It says it's all like a very well-tuned orchestra, and he's the director. The finance minister of Germany is the director. Only the French, this is again quoting Varoufakis, it says only the French minister made noises that were different from the German line, and those noises were very subtle. This was the only resistance, he's saying, to what Germany wanted. Just a little bit of complaining from the French minister. You could sense he had to use very judicious language to be seen as not to oppose. And in the final analysis, when Dr. Schauble responded and effectively determined the official line, the French minister would always fold. No resistance. It's either Germany's way or it's the highway. And as Nigel Farage said, that's what's going to happen to the rest of the member nations. That's what's going to happen to the rest of them. We're all going to be like Greece, he said. The article, finally this last bit from the New Statesman, says the divide seems to have been brief and perhaps even deliberate. Varoufakis thinks Merkel and Schauble's control over the Eurogroup is absolute and that the group itself is beyond the law. It's above the law. It's quite a statement coming from that man. Yesterday, London's mayor, Boris Johnson, he couldn't believe this solution to the Greek crisis. He said the proposal was breathtaking in its candor and brutality. He said when he first read it, he thought it was a spoof. He didn't even think it was real. Quoting from that piece, this is Johnson writing himself. These Greek state assets may be tarnished, they may be indebted, but they belong to the Greek people. And now the 72-year-old Schauble is seriously proposing that this family silver should be taken and sold by the Germans. Why the Germans? Because it's obvious from Schauble's proposals that he has complete contempt for the Greeks' ability to run their own affairs. They have complete contempt for Greece being able to run their own affairs. They've got the solution. It's their way or the highway. Johnson refers to the text of this document, this proposal, which calls for capacity building and depoliticizing. It has language like I just said there, and then he says the arrogance is amazing. The message from Berlin is clear. Either we take over the economic government of Greece or we kick Greece out of the Eurozone. And what's even more astonishing is that no one in any European country is rallying to the side of the Greeks. That's the most astonishing thing of all. No one's rising in defense of Greece. You think about that article in Spiegel from back in March. We did a program on this a few weeks ago. The title of that article, The Fourth Reich, What Some Europeans See When They Look at Germany. That's what Greece sees. And that's what some of the others see as well. People have begun talking about the Fourth Reich. That's what they whisper in Europe today. That's what they say behind closed doors. And look, it is an empire. It is an empire. There's some things that are going to be shuffled around, as we've been saying. The Spiegel article from March, it says, a heavy accusation has been leveled at Germany by some in Greece, Spain, France. Well, I've read through some of this before. But let me just skip down to the end. It says the euro was supposed to break Germany's economic dominance, but it has had the opposite effect. The shared currency has bound together the fates of Eurozone members and granted Germany power over the others. It's all been by design. It's all been by design. See, it's like my father said when he wrote back in 2009 after the initial stages of the crisis in Greece. He says, this is my father writing in 2009. Listen to this. The crisis in Greece is a forerunner of a whole rash of similar crises set to soon break out across Europe. This is just round one. They will provide the catalyst for the EU's leading nation, Germany, to rise to the fore with solutions of its own making. Of course, Greece has to give up its sovereignty. That's the only solution here. Of course we have to take over its economy. They can't do it themselves. They will provide the catalyst for the EU's leading nation, Germany, to rise to the fore with solutions of its own making. My father said, biblical prophecy declares that the result will be a European superstate with Germany at the helm. With Germany, you see, right there in the driver's seat. The history of mankind is a history of war. Where is this leading? Where is this peace deal with Iran leading? Is this leading to peace around the world? Is this proposal between Germany and Greece, will that lead to peace? Germany, after all, has been responsible for two world wars in the past century. Now, most people don't even think about that. It seems like thousands of years ago to the average young person on the streets of America or in Britain, led to believe that we're going to have peace. Everything's great. There are no threats to our national sovereignty. Let's just look at Revelation 17 in conclusion. We just have a few minutes left here. We discussed Daniel 2 last week, that great image and the 10 toes. And how that God's kingdom is going to smash man's systems of government and finally be set up on this earth. I mean, there is hope. There is hope, for sure. But immediately before Jesus Christ returns to this earth, God has prophesied of this final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. Mr. Armstrong wrote back in the 1950s, we know how the United States of Europe will be used by Germany to attempt world domination. Prophecy shows 10 kings, 10 dictators will arise in Europe and give their power to Germany. They have to. They have to. This was, as I've said before, this was the signature prophecy of Herbert Armstrong's 50-year ministry. Anyone who read The Plain Truth or who heard the World Tomorrow program will remember these very dramatic prophecies of God that come right out of the pages of your Bible, particularly in Daniel 2 and 7 and Revelation 13 and Revelation 17. Verse 1 here of Revelation 17, it says, "And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come here, I'll show unto you the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters." So there's going to be this unholy union between church and state in Europe. And then down in verse 7 it says, "And the angel said unto me, Wherefore did you marvel? I'll tell you the mystery of the woman and the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and ten horns." God gives the interpretation, in other words. Here's this beast with a woman riding it, a church guiding it, guiding this political entity. Verse 8, it says, "The beast that you saw was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is." Mr. Armstrong was on the scene for the sixth head, for the sixth resurrection. That's why this is worded the way that it is. He lived through the sixth resurrection. But as I said at the start, I mean, he prophesied about the seventh and final system. He prophesied about it before World War II. He prophesied about it during the Battle of Britain. He prophesied about it after the war ended, when Germany was in rubble. His signature prophecy. Verse 10, it says, "And there are seven kings, five are fallen and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when it comes, when he comes," it says, "he must continue a short space." See, there was one more to come on the scene after Mr. Armstrong's work and ministry. It's rising now. It's to continue for a short space. Notice verse 12, "And the ten horns which you saw are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast." And so here, just like with those ten toes in Daniel 2, here this verse refers to the United States of Europe. The United States of Europe. Ten heads of state in Europe joining together for 1 hour with this beast power. Verse 13 says, "These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast." They have one mind. See, this is not democracy, nothing like it. There's one power. There's one overarching power guiding the movements. Of course, behind all of that, you can look at Revelation 13 and see the spirit that's behind it. You can see where this beast gets it, its power and strength from. But notice, as I say, notice where it leads. There is a hopeful end. Verse 14, it says, "These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." Jesus Christ is coming to make war with nations. He has to. He has to. That's the only language the nations of this world understand. The history of man has been the history of warfare. And so Jesus Christ is coming to put a stop to it. And here you see God's people, the called, the chosen, and the faithful, God's church, the saints of God, right in the middle of all of these events. Right in the center of this prophecy, fighting alongside the Lamb to put down this evil beast power once and for all, so that the world can rest and have peace. Finally, Jesus Christ won't be welcome when he arrives, but he will establish peace on earth. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily radio show, 101.3 on the FM dial here in Edmond, Oklahoma. You can also listen in online. Tell your friends and family out and about that they can listen wherever on this earth if they have internet access, kpcg.fm. Send us your feedback to td@kpcg.fm. Thank you for listening today, and we'll see you tomorrow.